How do you do? There is no fear in love. But many people don't understand that concept. They're afraid the other person doesn't love them, will hurt them, will find someone else. Perfect love, however, casts out fear. The woman in this story thought she had found perfect love. But that wasn't true until her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
What do you know about this man, Jeannie?
He's really rich, Mom. He drives a new sports car and he's in construction.
Does he go to church?
I don't know.
Have you met his parents or anyone in his family?
No, but I've met his little daughter, Laura. She's already attached to me. Her real mother didn't want her, but I know I can love her as my own, Mom. She's so precious, a little lost lamb.
Jeannie, you have to listen to me now. Stay away from this man. He has no character.
What do you mean, Mom? He's wonderful and I love him. We're going to be married.
It's a mistake, Jeannie. Please listen to me. Don't marry him. Run. Run now.
Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. No place to go. That's the plight of homeless people. They sleep in public places or abandoned buildings, hoping no one evicts them. But those who come to Pacific Garden Mission find a clean, safe bunk for the night, nourishing meals and fresh clothing, all thanks to caring friends who send financial gifts. Even medical and dental care is given to resident guests in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors introduce each guest to the one who will never leave them or forsake them, the one who said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Meeting and following him gives life purpose. And that's what this program celebrates, going out to the world in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3201 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
He'll hear me. I better take off my high heels. God, please. He'll kill me. I'm still sore from last night's beating. Oh, I should have oiled the hinges. It's so dark in here. Where did he put my purse? There it is. Don't let him wake up. God, please.
Where do you think you're going?
To work. One of us has to earn a living.
I'll kill you for that. Get over.
Not exactly a picture of marital bliss. Far from it, as Jeanette Towne will describe in this, her true testimony right now on Unshackled. Parental guidance is suggested due to some of the physical abuse dramatized in this true testimony of Jeanette Towne.
Why didn't I listen to my mother? She and Dad were first-generation Italians who came to this country and worked hard to be financially successful, raising us kids in a loving family. When I was a teenager, my folks bought a home in Yorba Linda, California. Family was sacred to my father, who had served 6 years in the Navy and loved me and my siblings. Dad encouraged us to excel in school and attend college, but they couldn't help me financially.
So, you want to be a nurse, Jeannie?
Yes. Well, my friend told me I can take classes at night at the hospital to be a nurse's aide. Then, when I graduate, I can work at the hospital while I go to college.
Sounds like a good plan to me. Do you like to help people?
I do, Mom.
Ah, well, we may not be here. Your dad applied for a job working in Denmark.
Denmark?
Yes. We've always wanted to live in Europe again.
Oh, but I'll miss you and the security of home.
Ah, he hasn't been accepted yet.
I became a nurse's aide, working in a nursing home for the summer and then started college. Being on my own was exciting, and I worked hard to get excellent grades. I also worked as a waitress to cover my tuition and the small apartment I shared with a roommate. My first 2 years, I took general education classes. Then I began the nursing program. The first day, the instructor glared at me as she spoke.
Don't plan on working while you're in the nursing program. You'll be training at the hospital part-time and going to classes the rest of the time. You won't have time for an outside job.
Panic washed over me. I couldn't stay in college without a job. She was right. But I kept working. I got up at 5:30 and worked at the hospital from 7 until 3 in the afternoon. When I wasn't at the hospital, I was in class. Then I worked at the restaurant from 4 until midnight. I came home exhausted, but still had to study for exams. Some mornings I was so tired I didn't hear the alarm. I struggled to hold on to a B average, but who wants a grade B nurse? As the year ended, I began to get run down and sick. My attendance slipped, and I had to make up a few hours.
If you miss any more hours, you'll be dropped from the program.
3 weeks before the end of the year, we had a pharmacology final exam. One day, I decided to stay home, missing a two-hour class to study for the exam. Later, as I approached the classroom, the instructor intercepted me.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going to take the final.
No, you're not. You're out. You've been a tough one since day one. You kept working against my recommendation. Nobody works and makes it through the program. What makes you think you'd be able to do it?
Oh, please.
You were warned. You missed class this morning, so I've already filed papers with the college. You're dismissed from the nursing program.
Please. I can make up the hours. I promise.
There's no way I can monitor you in the clinical setting while you try to make up hours. Forget about being a nurse and stick to being a waitress. Clean out your locker.
I felt as if my life was over. With no classes and no hospital work, I spent my days in self-pity, telling no one about my dismissal. I was too ashamed. Like a zombie, I went to work. Finally, I re-enrolled in the nursing program. Only then did I tell my parents.
Oh, Jeannie. Why don't you move back home?
No, Mom. I'm determined to be a nurse.
But how can you make it on your own?
Well, I'll get a job in a fancier restaurant where the tips are better and I won't have to work as many hours.
Your dad accepted the job in Denmark. We're leaving in 2 months. You and your sister can go with us and live in Europe for 6 years.
And miss out on my nursing career? No, thanks, Mom. I've got to do this. Lying about my age and saying I was 21 when I was only 19. I landed a job in an upscale restaurant where I could earn enough to cover tuition by working part-time. The other servers were more sophisticated than I and dated the customers. One night, my boss at the restaurant invited me to a party, saying I could make hundreds of dollars in tips. I soon realized that wealthy customers were there to pair off with the girls, but I managed to stick to my serving job, too scared to participate. Nick was a regular at the restaurant, and he was the most handsome man I'd ever seen. 6'4", he was like a god to me, and I was instantly infatuated as I served him. He paid with $100 bill.
Keep the change.
$94? You seem like a nice guy and all, but I'm not like those other girls in here.
Hey, I just wanted you to keep the tip.
Well, I'm only working here until I finish nursing school.
I heard you were the ice princess. Tell me about yourself.
Well, my parents are moving to Copenhagen soon, and I'll graduate next year.
I have a PhD in math. My parents live in Switzerland, but I live in Corona del Mar with Laura.
Laura?
She's my baby girl. I stopped my fiancé from having an abortion just in the nick of time. Then I took the baby home with me. She's 2 now.
What about the mother?
I threw her out. She told other guys they were the father of the baby just to get money from them. But Laura's mine. She needs a good mother.
Nick and I dated a few times, and I met his little girl who clung to me. Although he dated the other servers, I loved him and knew that he was the one for me. Then one day, the woman in charge of servers threatened my job if I didn't go along with their dating service. So I bravely told Nick when I saw him arrive at the restaurant.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you're one of their girls?
No. I've never dated any of those men. I said I'd work for her because the money sounded good and I needed extra cash for school. And when I saw what was going on and wanted out, she threatened me.
Jeanette, are you a complete idiot? Why would you agree to sell your body to disgusting old men for a few hundred dollars?
But I didn't.
This is just great. You know, you really had me fooled. I thought you were special, but you're just like other women. Inside, you're nothing but trash.
He left me sobbing in the parking lot and went inside the restaurant. A few minutes later, he ran back out looking frantic.
This situation is serious, Jeanette. You don't know how dangerous these people are. They kill young girls who've seen their dens.
Are they gonna kill me?
As a favor to me, they're gonna let you go. But they could change their minds. You need to act now and get out. You'll be blackballed from every restaurant in Orange County.
But how will I live? My parents are gone and I need to stay in school.
Look, this is a matter of life and death, Jeanette. Just go in, tell them you agree, and then walk away from it all.
I was so naive. He persuaded me that my life was in danger, and I was a scared 20-year-old who believed him. We abandoned my car, and I got in Nick's luxury car.
If they followed us, I think we lost them by now.
Can't I go back to my apartment to get my things?
Oh, don't be stupid, Jeanette. They know where you live.
Well, can I at least get my car?
You don't need a car. I'll take you wherever you need to go.
But where will I live?
You can live with me. But it's late now. For tonight, let's stay at that motel.
Oh, please, Nick. I told you, I'm not that kind of girl.
Well, maybe it's time you learn.
Can't we get married first? Grudgingly, he agreed. And the beautiful 3-carat diamond ring that Nick bought me the next day was no match for the stars in my eyes as we were married by a justice of the peace. If I had known that the man of my dreams would turn into a nightmare, I would have followed my mother's advice and run.
We'll hear more about Jeanette's story shortly. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That's the secret of Unshackled, a good word in the face of impossible situations. We know that with God all things are possible. And because these programs go out to the world in 14 languages, millions of people in the farthest reaches of radio hear these dramas, people for whom church and the Bible are forbidden, people who have never heard the gospel. And because human nature is the same, these testimonies electrify listeners with God's truth heard in the context of dramatic circumstances. So if you or someone you know has a testimony of coming out of darkness into God's light, write and tell us. Our radio committee will take it from there. Your testimony could change another's life, maybe even hundreds of others. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I called my brother and told him about our getting married, but I didn't call my parents because I knew they wouldn't agree with my decision to drop out of college. Nick didn't respect me. I could tell by his increasing rudeness and his short temper. We finally moved to his mansion on the beach, which turned out to be owned by another man. We were just roommates consigned to a small room. Nick's deception troubled me, but I took care of his daughter while he worked. One day, a pretty neighbor came by looking for Nick. So that night, I confronted him about her. The neighbor returned your sunglasses. She said you left them in her bathroom. Are you having an affair with her? Are you cheating on me?
Don't you ever question what I do, you hear? You don't have the right to question me, my life, when I come and go, or anything else. I saved you from being a prostitute. You're nothing, Jeanette. That woman is just a friend. Yeah, she's gorgeous, rich. She's got class, something you'll never have. You're trash.
Nick's tirade continued for half an hour as I laid bruised and weeping in the hallway while he dressed and went out. The next day, I called my brother and asked him to come get me on Saturday when Nick would be home with little Laura. When my brother came, I tried to sneak away, but Nick heard us and tried to make me feel guilty. Nevertheless, I left. I spent weeks at my brother's apartment pondering the future. A month later, Nick called.
Laura's been crying every day and night, asking when you're coming home. She loves you, Jeanette. So does her daddy. Your real mother doesn't want her. And now you've walked away from her, too. Please, don't leave us.
I don't know.
Did our wedding vows mean anything to you? Do you still love me?
I love you and Laura, but I can't come back to your temper. You threw me down the hall and hurt me.
I did push you a little, and I'm sorry for getting so upset, but you accused me when I was innocent. I went to that woman's house to see about a remodeling job. I am a builder, after all. Besides, I come home every night.
I'm sorry I accused you, Nick.
I've been offered a new job near San Francisco. I'll be project superintendent. The pay's good. My mother's offered to keep Laura until we get settled, and we can start over, Jeanette. Okay?
I wanted my marriage to work, so I went back to him and we moved 400 miles north. Nick went out every night for a meeting and came home late smelling of alcohol and perfume. He was extremely jealous of me, questioning everything I did. We finally leased a condo in my maiden name, which puzzled me, and then we went to get Laura from his parents. Nick had told me his parents were rich and educated. Another lie. His father was a brute. Before we left, his mother took me aside.
You seem like a nice young lady, Jeanette, and I hope you and Nick will be happy, but I have to tell you something.
Yes?
Well, when Nick was young, he was very mean to me. He hit me, and I told him I would tell his wife someday. He used to explode in violent fits of anger and punch holes in the wall. He's just like his father.
Jeanette, come on!
I have to go. I didn't comprehend our similar lives at the time. I was barely 21, yet I had reoccurring pelvic infections that Nick blamed on me, accusing me of infidelity, though he was the one who stayed out while I babysat Laura. One night, when I had asked for the car keys to take Laura to the mall, he threw the keys at me and left. On a hunch, I peeked out the window and saw him get in a woman's car. When he returned at 11, I asked him who gave him a ride, and he erupted in vile language, grabbing a 5-gallon jug of water and began pouring it on my head.
Who put you in charge of my life, you filthy pig? Clean up your thoughts. Hey, there's some nice clean water. Stop, you're blubbering, you tramp. Who did you hook up with at the mall, huh? You accuse me. You're the guilty one, aren't you? Never question me, little wifer. I'm the boss of this home. Do I make myself clear?
After scenes like that, he would leave and come home hours later. And the next day, he would bring gifts and feeble apologies. I finally called my dad in Denmark, but was too ashamed to tell him how fearful I was. Dad had investigated and learned that Nick had never registered our marriage license, so we weren't legally married. When Nick discovered this oversight, a local preacher married us. A week later, we were in bankruptcy court.
Yeah, they were completely taken in, little wifer. They'll never prove that I altered the lease to use your maiden name. That judge sure nailed you, though, didn't he?
I was so scared.
Ah, bunch of dummies.
I didn't know you owed so much money, Nick. $200,000 is a big debt. How will you ever pay it back?
That's what bankruptcy's for, wifer.
But if we haven't paid the rent, won't we be evicted?
Ah, who cares? Lease is in your name now.
We were evicted, but rented a house in Nick's name. What kind of man had I married? My parents were hardworking and had raised me to be honest. I believed in God, but didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I thought about the time when I was 8 years old and a friend had taken me to vacation Bible school. There, the pastor spoke things I'd never heard before.
Jesus died for your sins, each of you. Think of it. He died an agonizing death on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And on the third day, he rose again. He did this so you could have eternal life. You all want eternal life in heaven, don't you? Well, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." If you want to follow Jesus as your personal Savior, put your hand up now.
Afraid my siblings would see me, I slipped my hand up and then went to the front where a woman prayed with me. But I never spoke a word of this to anyone, not really understanding what it all meant. I was fearful even then. Now I wondered if God cared after the way I was living. I cried out to the Lord when I was alone. God, I wouldn't blame you for not listening to me. But if you care, please hear me. Please help me not do anything to make Nick angry. I pray that he'll stay home and not threaten me or hurt me again. Help me be a better mother to Laura, God. Give me patience and wisdom.
All right, what's up? You make a fillet dinner with wine. I know you want something.
Well, I saw an ad in the paper for a waitress at a nearby restaurant. It's only part-time, a few hours a week. Mm-hmm. Laura can go to preschool and make some friends, and I can pay for daycare with my tips. I promise you wouldn't even know I'm gone.
You better not interfere with things around here, Jeanette.
I worked from 8 till 1 and began saving small amounts for my job, putting the money in a savings account that I kept secret from Nick, who rarely bothered to come home for dinner. One night, he took me to a party where I begged to go home when I saw drug use and immoral behavior. Nick booted me out of the car at home and returned to the party. My parents had always taken us to church, and I began to feel guilty about not having a relationship with God. So I took Laura to a service late one Saturday afternoon. There in the bulletin, I saw an ad for a computer teacher, and I stopped by the booth at church. I recognized the technician, a friend from parochial school.
Jeanette, is that really you? When you moved to Yorba Linda, I thought I'd never see you again.
Yes, it's really me, Andrew.
I see you're married. Are you happy?
Well, you know, for better or worse. You're teaching the class?
Oh, yeah. I majored in computer science in college.
I'd love to learn about computers.
Oh, great. Well, fill out the form. And Jeannie, if you ever need a friend, give me a call. Here's my number.
I rushed home so Nick wouldn't have cause to be angry, but he was drunk and mocked my desire for God. This was 1981 when computers were new. If I learned basic programming, I could leave the waitress job for a better one. I waited to ask Nick if I could go to the class while he was dressing to go out for the evening. He consented. By the time I finished the class and began teaching others, I realized he was addicted to cocaine. No wonder my paltry check from the restaurant didn't cover the bills. Once again, we were being evicted. One night when Nick went out as usual, I called Andrew.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you called, Jeannie. Is everything okay with you?
Well, yeah, I'm fine, Andrew. I shouldn't have called you. I don't know why I did.
Oh, I'm not sure what's going on with you, Jeannie, so I won't keep you, but look, call any time. I mean it. Good luck with your classes and your marriage.
Goodbye, Andrew. Nick!
You worthless pig. Who were you talking to? Who in the world is Andrew, you piece of trash?
Hello? Hello?
Answer!
Andrew?
Hello, Jean?
Give me that phone. Who are you, Andrew, you piece of garbage? Sneaking around with my wife? Stay away from her or I'll kill you, do you understand? You so much as look at my wife again and you're a dead man.
Nick's rampage went on and on. He broke the phone and ripped up my clothes, all the while calling me vile names, accusing me of giving him the diseases he gave me. Finally, he dressed and left, and I limped in pain to clean my bloody face and body. I cleaned up the mess, mourned the loss of my belongings, and curled up to pray. I wanted to run, but how could I leave Laura to that monster? Lord, I don't know if you can hear me tonight, but I'm crying out to you. Please, Lord, I'm scared and I'm hurting. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm afraid I'm going to die. Help me, Lord. Save me. Let my parents know where I am and keep me safe. Please, Lord, answer my prayers.
Does God hear and answer desperate prayers like that? Next week, we'll learn how Jeanette escaped this dire situation. Many years ago, a man in desperate straits cried out to God. He later wrote, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So there's your answer, listening friend. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. If your life seems broken beyond repair, remember, with God, all things are possible. You can trust the Lord with your life. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. Thank you for serving our wonderful and mighty God. Your program has an impact on so many, a listener writes. We hope you let the manager of this station know how you feel about hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3201. Heard in the true story of Jeanette Town, part one, were Liz Zweifler, Steve Downs, Peggy Roeder, Mercedes DeMunk, and David Stewart. Original music, Don Badorf. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Tim Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.